who worked in a factory, and one day he was going out of work at 4 o'clock, and he'd taken his wheelbarrow and there was a box in it. So the security man on the gate stopped him and said, where are you going with that? He said, what's in that box? And the man said, sawdust. Sawdust, he says. In that box, he said, let me have a look. Open the box. So the man opened the box, and sure enough, it was sawdust. So he said, well, what are you doing? What, you know, what's going on? He said, well, you know how we sweep everything up at the end of the day and all the sawdust. I thought I'd take it home, so I'd put it all in the box. So the next day came and the same happened. And then the following day, the same happened again. And then Friday came and he stopped, same security man. He says to him, there's something wrong here. I think you're stealing something. He said, but I'm not sure. But I've got no proof. He said, there's something wrong, isn't there? Tell me. I promise I won't tell anybody if you tell me. So he says, the man says, I've been stealing wheelbarrows. I thought it was funny anyway. And I'm grateful to Canon J. John for that one. And he came out with it. And it just shows that we have to look at the whole picture. And we do. And sometimes we miss the obvious. And well, let's hope we don't this morning. I'm going to read to you in a minute. Before I do, are any of you dreamers? Yeah. This morning involves dreamers. Well, one particular dreamer, Daniel. And me and Chris are different when it comes to dreams. I don't have any. Well, I wake up and I've not had any. And so far as I'm concerned, I've not had any. But Chris, oh dear. Nearly every day it's, oh, I had a dream last night. And I thought, oh, here we go again. And for most of us, it's just our mind's way of sorting everything out that's happened in the day or in the week. And it just, your mind plays tricks on you and you have these dreams. And of course, some dreams can be prophetic as well, and this one of Daniel's certainly was. And God speaks to us in different ways and through dreams and thoughts, and he uses creation as well, and he speaks to us through the Holy Spirit. He speaks to us through dreams and visions. A vision is generally defined as something when you're awake, you see a vision. And a dream occurs when you are sleeping. It's the official sort of definition. Peter was awake for his vision when he saw the blanket of food come down. You can read that in Acts 10. And he was awake for this. However, Pharaoh's baker and cupbearer were asleep when they had dreams that Joseph eventually interpreted. And that's found in Genesis 40. I'm not going to read it. Dreams are important to us, aren't they? Especially if you call Chris, but and a lot of Chris's dreams are not dreams, they're nightmares. No, she said. Anyway, but some dreams are true and some are false. And Jeremiah talked about false dreams and how bad they can be. So we have to know the source of our dreams if you want to interpret them or find not be concerned. And there are special dreams, dreams that are recorded in the Bible that are special, like around the birth of Christ. And Daniel dreamed of Nebuchadnezzar. He had a dream about a statue, and the head was made of gold, the next bit, the breastplate, was of silver, and then bronze, and then we go to the feet and legs made of iron and clay. But any new information must be interpreted, really, with Scripture, and we must be careful. I remember somebody once in a strange meeting said, "I've had a dream of a cow in a field." And I thought, oh no, here we go. And he came out with this weird and wonderful explanation of what it meant. And I thought, I don't think this is what I'll be, taking home and getting hold of. But so we have to be careful of these kind of dreams. So you can check them out against the Bible. Check them out with your heart and mind and ask God what is revealed to you. And funnily enough, some dreams can disturb you. And Daniel, in verse 15 of this chapter 7, which I'm going to partly read, was disturbed. And he was given an interpretation. He asked for one. Normally, it was Daniel who was asked for the interpretation because he had a special gift. So, let's go to Daniel 7. If you want to find it, it's after Ezekiel. And Daniel chapter 7. I'm not going to read the whole chapter. I'm just going to read a few verses. From verse 9, "As I looked, thrones were set in place, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was as white as snow. The hair of his head was white like wool. His throne was flaming with fire, and its wheels were all ablaze. A river of fire was flowing, coming out from before him. Thousands upon thousands attended him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were opened." Then in verse 13, "In my vision at night I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led in his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and people of every nation, of every language, worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed." So this type of vision is called, or dream, is an apocalyptic one that talks about the future, the end times. And some of Daniel's dreams were more or less imminent and had already occurred. So he talked about Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. Babylon at the time, these days, is in Iraq. And what we know as Iraq is where Babylon is, just for your information. So, looking at the overall picture of Daniel, the first six chapters are about stories, really, that Daniel and his three friends experienced. And it tells of their faithfulness to God. And we read stories about Daniel in the lion's den. We all know about that, don't we? But from chapter 7 onwards, this is Daniel's first apocalyptic dream, vision, prophecy. And so that's where we are. We're in Daniel chapter 7 and this particular verse. If you could put up my picture now, Elizabeth. All right, okay. So I love this description. It's only found in Daniel, and it's only mentioned three times in the whole Bible, that God's description of the Ancient of Days. And it's thought to be referring to God the Father. And as you can see, and as you heard, he had hair of white hair, and clothing as white as snow. And the hair of his head was white like wool. But I like this description. His throne was flaming with fire, and its wheels were all ablaze. A river of fire was flowing, coming out from before him. Thousands upon thousands attended him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated. I find that interesting. The court was seated. And it's thought that this court were composed of celestial beings, and the books were opened. And this is significant as well. The books were opened. All that we've ever done and all that we've ever planned, perhaps, and spoke about is down there in those books. So how we behave is important. But the important thing about this important thing is that we have faith in Jesus and that he is going to acquit us on the day of judgment. We might think that our government is in charge of things, maybe not so much. Today, we wonder who is in charge, whether it's Boris or somebody else. But it's interesting. But this clearly tells us that God is in charge. The Ancient of Days is in charge. And all these people, this significance of the numbers is that it's a big crowd, a huge crowd. It's not perhaps literally 10,000 times 10,000, but it just means a huge number of people. And then we go on to verse 13. In my vision at night, so it was a night vision, I looked and there before me was one like the Son of Man. And you may remember that Jesus often referred himself to as the Son of Man, and it was a messianic prophecy, this. And that's why Jews look forward to the Messiah coming. And Jesus said he was the Son of Man. They knew exactly what he was saying and didn't like it very much. And he's described as coming. with clouds of heaven. And he approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and people of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. We see here Daniel watching, and I feel that somehow we should be watching too. He's watching what unfolds in the future, and he's so disturbed by it. He was troubled in spirit. The visions that passed through my mind disturbed me. And I approached one who was standing there and asked him the meaning of all of this. He'd had earlier on in the chapter 7 this vision of four beasts. One was a lion, one was a bear, one was a leopard, and then the fourth beast, which was different from all the others and most terrifying, with its iron teeth and bronze claws. Eventually it was crushed. So the lion was thought to be, was actually Babylon, the empire that grew out of that, and King Nebuchadnezzar's empire, which actually was destroyed, as we know. Then came the Medo-Persian Empire, and that was slightly weaker as well, and eventually that was destroyed, and they talked about the bear there, referring to that empire. And then the third empire was Alexander the Great, his conquering of the whole earth as it was at the time. And that was an amazing empire, but that also fell. This is since Daniel. But the fourth empire turned out to be Rome. Sometimes I think it might refer to Europe. I'm not sure. But anyway, it definitely refers to Rome. And this is the most terrifying beast, it says. And ultimately, it's crushed by Christ in the end. But his kingdom reigns forever. His kingdom is set up and will reign forever. So don't be worried about your visions. But just watch and see what happens. And we pray, as with the Lord's Prayer, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We see the rise and fall of nations. How many have risen and been a force to be reckoned with and then fallen away? I'll just have a look at Revelation 1 verse 9 briefly. Your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. On the Lord's day I was in the Spirit. I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, "Written on a scroll, write on a scroll what you see, and send it to the seven churches." Verse 12, I turned round to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I saw the seven golden lampstands, and among them the lampstands was like the Son of Man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet, and with a golden sash around his chest. The hair on his head was white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace. His voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars. Coming out of his mouth was a sharp double-edged sword. His face was like the sun, shining in all its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades." So we read there, and it connects very much with Daniel about Jesus holding the keys of death and hell. But what an amazing description of him. Eyes like fire, and out of his mouth comes a sword like the word of God. Sometimes we ask ourselves, is God really in control? And we could see from that yes, he is. Things don't always appear to be what they are in reality. God will not leave his people in a permanent state of suffering. Later on, this fire that's flowing out from this realm, becomes water, life-giving, and it feeds the eternal. Nations rage, kingdoms rise and fall. There is still one king reigning over all. So I will not fear, but this truth remains that God is the Ancient of Days. None above him, none before him. All of time in his hands, for his throne it shall remain. All the power, all the glory, I will trust in his name. Though the dead of night overwhelms me, my soul overwhelms my soul. He is here with me. I am not alone, for he knows my name. For my God is the Ancient of Days. So we're challenged this morning to watch and see what happens. And we're challenged, I think, to live our lives according to the way that God wants us to. Whatever we're threatened with, whatever the world would say to us doesn't really matter. We have to obey God. And that's our challenge this morning. Thank you, Helen.